What is up? This is Speak Up, Speak Out. Welcome. Today we are going to be talking about a topic that nobody really likes to talk about, but I love to talk about it. And I'm okay and secure with myself for talking about it. So today we are going to be talking about sex. But I have a couple guests coming through at all different times, so don't worry. It'll be a lit topic. But I do have one guest on right now. So, what's up, Chris Shields? How you doing?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm great. You know, happy Saturday. I mean, I feel like I've been stuck in the house. I don't even know what day it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I have another guest in as well. What's up, Darnell? How you doing?
Yo, what's good?
What's good? I was telling Chris that I feel like I don't know what day it is because I've been stuck in the house for a long time. Do you agree with that or what? Did you hear me, Darnell?
My phone, what's up?
I said, I feel like I've been stuck in the house for a long time and forgot what day it is. Do you agree or what?
Yeah, kind of, but I've been worried that it's Saturday because I'm trying to figure out some shit for work.
Okay. I feel it. So, like I said, today we're going to be talking about sex. So, let's get right into it. Chris, when you think about sex, what do you think about?
What do I think about? The first thing that comes to my mind is love.
Okay. Darnell, when you think about sex, what do you think about?
Orgasm.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I mean, that's okay. That makes sense. Okay. Being the only female on the phone, when I think about sex, I do think about passion, love, in those categories and everything like that. Chris, when you talk about love, what are you being? Can you be more specific on what you mean when you're saying love when it comes to sex?
Well, love, because the whole purpose of sex is to become complete with your partner.
Right.
There is a spiritual aspect that when, as Darnell says, the orgasm happens, what you're doing is you're releasing a physical pleasure to concrete the spiritual experience of you and your partner becoming the full image of God. That's what the whole purpose of sex is. So that's why love, which is God, is expressed when that orgasm, that pleasure, that experience is taking place between two partners that genuinely love each other, not lust each other. Because lust does not create anything. Only love creates.
Okay. So you have anything to say on that, Darnell, or to add on to what he's saying?
I mean, it sounds like it makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of tough because there are situations where people that quote unquote love each other could have sex and don't even have orgasms.
Okay.
So I think to tie it in to a spiritual thing, like, I feel like in the grand scheme of things, it makes sense. But I feel like in every experience of sex, I don't think that's fair to say.
Okay. So not to get too personal in your life, have you ever experienced having sex with somebody and not really having too much, like not having a type of love for them, but like still like a type of, you still wanted to have sex with them or what?
I don't know. That's also hard to say.
Okay.
I feel like to know exactly, I don't know exactly what love is.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
So I feel like you could have an interaction with somebody that maybe you don't even know that well, but you fuck with them in the moment or whatever.
Right.
And, shit can still be lit. So I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you could even pay for sex.
Right.
And it'll still get the job done. And you might love them for that. Like, I don't...
Okay.
I don't see how it immediately means love and relationship and partnership, especially for like a long period of time. It could just be in the moment.
Okay, so a momentary type feeling. So going off that, going back to Chris, so can you go more in depth with that, Chris? Because I mean, I'm trying to understand kind of where both you guys' perspectives are on sex. So when you, being a person, bro, you're going on a spiritual side, because you're talking about lust and love. Do you think what Darnell's going by is a type of lust, not a love? Because he's saying he doesn't know what love is. So
yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. Because I mean, anything that is a moment is lust.
Right.
Love is a non-ending thing. It's a constant thing. The power of love in the true essence of sex is to create. It is to pass on your lineage, your experience, the wisdom, the knowledge, the hurts, the pains onto another generation. That's why when two people come together in the essence of love and they create, they have an orgasm and sperm passes into the egg, and then that egg catches the sperm and now a child begins to be birthed. What's happening? They have created and passed on the very essence of who they are onto another generation. That is not a moment thing. That is something that will live on past them. Okay. Anything that is a moment is lust. Anything that has a legacy is love. So in the essence of, the reason why there's such a misunderstanding of what sex really is because sex was never meant for single people to experience or to be a part of. It was always meant to be in covenant. Two people sacrificing their individuality to come together as one to experience the passing on of what they've learned, the essence of who they are, to God to pass on and create another generation. That's what the whole essence of this sex thing was always intended for. It was pleasurable and there was a great experience for the marriage covenant. Simple. End of subject. So any single person doesn't really understand the essence of what love is until they experience the sacrifice of committing to someone else.
That's deep. So do you think that people are afraid to commit because of the fact of that part, Chris?
Yeah, because I think in the essence of... Okay, go ahead.
He said what?
So
he has a question.
How do you then explain the transition in the Bible where it goes from people having multiple wives to just one?
Well, first off, you have to understand the context of the Bible, and you have to realize that you have two different types of people. And Darnell, I'm not trying to sound condescending, so I'm sorry if I'm coming off that way. I'm just very passionate about this stuff, so sometimes people feel like I'm speaking down to them. That is not my intention or my heart. So I just want to make that clear first off with answering your question. But you have to understand that there's two type of people that God is speaking to. And you have two different types of families going on. You have the Jewish culture, right? And you have the Gentile culture. So what you're pointing out is you're speaking on when God was directly speaking only to the Jewish people. Because you have to realize that prior to Jesus dying on the cross, being buried and rising again on the third day and coming and seating at the right hand of the Father in heaven, prior to that, the Gentiles didn't have a right into God's kingdom. It took him dying on the cross, which allowed the Gentiles to be grafted into the experience. So originally in the Torah, the law was that man or the Jews were not directly told, hey, you only have one wife. That came on later on when the Gentiles, you being a Gentile, you're not Jewish, you being a Gentile, you were always told that you only could have one wife. Does that make sense?
I mean, it does, but I feel like how does that, I'm confused on where that ties in the Bible.
I just told you, you have two different audiences that are being spoken to in the Bible. You have the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament, the Gentiles are grafted into the covenant with God. The Old Testament, they weren't grafted in.
Oh, so you're saying basically the Old Testament is the only place where you can have multiple wives.
Yes, but okay. That covenant is over.
Okay.
You see, does that make sense? Once Jesus died and was seated at the right hand of the Father, and he came back to earth, that old covenant was broken.
Oh, okay.
So now we're living in the new covenant, and being in the new covenant, none of that is allowed.
Right. And
marriage is between a man and a woman, period, in the subject. And one man, one woman.
I see that you don't think that was just the Romans.
Just the Romans?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? I'm not following what you're... Well,
the idea that Paul wrote the Bible.
Yes.
After Jesus was crucified, and that he had a beef with the disciples, and the Romans found out that Paul was Roman. And so the government, the Romans, helped Paul to write the Bible and establish the Bible as the religion of Christianity, not Jesus's disciples. And
no, first off, Paul didn't write the Bible. He only wrote 2/3 of the Bible, not the whole Bible. There were things that Paul...
Two-thirds.
Okay, but not 2/3 of the whole Bible. Let me be totally specific on what I'm saying. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Yeah, Paul didn't write any of the Old Testament. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament.
New Testament.
But even with him writing the New Testament, he quoted the Old Testament, and he quoted from the disciples. He didn't have beef with the disciples. He had a disagreement. Having beef and disagreements are totally different. And you can have disagreements and still respect a person.
Yeah.
And that was what was going on. The only disagreement he had was with Peter, and him and Peter came to a conclusion in the end of it. They had reverence for each other. They just did not agree because you had Peter, who was being racist, going back to what you were talking about. He was being racist towards the Gentiles and saying that, oh, well, it's only about the Jewish people. It's not about the Gentiles. But it took an experience with God to allow his heart to be melted for the Gentiles. And then next thing you know, Peter's whole mindset changed. So he didn't have beef. And Paul and him ended up beginning to do ministry together. So there was no beef that they had. And then the other disciples, the only thing that they had with Paul was the fact that Paul, when he started off, was killing Christians. Right. So they didn't truly believe that Paul had fully been he had fully been changed. It took Peter standing in the gap, James standing in the gap, and John standing in the gap for him, saying, no, he's totally changed. He's a man of God now. So it's like, no, there was no beef there, bro.
Okay.
Wow. Well, all right. That was good. Okay. Referring back, we also have another person coming on in a second. With that, we just went on a biblical rant on sex, just understanding that. Darnell, has there ever been a moment in your life that you felt that maybe the person you had sex with was maybe not the best decision? And how did you handle that?
Well, I had that situation.
Okay.
Actually twice. I can think of. The first time I really didn't have like a particular reason for it.
Okay.
It just kind of felt like afterwards, I just felt like, that was unnecessary.
Right.
And another time, there was a reason. I know this is a little bit of a biblical group on here, but
right.
She had a little bit of an odor.
Okay.
And that kind of was like, eh. But it was super spontaneous. So we were both kind of just like rolling with it. And then in the middle of it, I just kind of stopped and was like, this isn't going well.
Okay. And then what about that other time? Because you said there was two.
Yeah, well, the first time I was saying that there was no reason. I just
okay.
To have sex yeah, I just person. Afterwards was just kind of like, that was unnecessary.
Right. Okay. What about you, bro?
What's the question?
Was there any person that you had sex with that you might have should have not had sex with? That it was like a waste of, well, not, I guess it's not a waste of time. Nobody should be a waste of time, but it was just not worth going through that with that person.
Any sex outside of marriage is not worth it, in my opinion. And the reason why is because me being someone that has experienced that, if there was one thing that it's not directed towards the person, it's directed toward the experience, because the amount of heartbreak that I had to experience would not have been opened up in the way that it did if I did not give myself over to that person in the way that I did. The most vulnerable place you are at as a human being is when you're in the bed having sex with someone. Right. You are literally giving your all to them, your spirit, soul, and body. So after that experience, whether you like them or not, you are tied to them for the rest of your life. And that's the aspect we do not understand. Why do you think, especially females, I still feel some type of way when I see that person, whether it's a negative or a positive feeling, you still feel them, because that's the aspect of the tie that happens when you give yourself over to someone in the bed of sex. That's why in Hebrews, it talks about making sure that the marriage bed is undefiled. Because God is telling us there that whatever happens in the bed, it goes everywhere with you. So keep that pure.
Right.
And that's why everybody laying down with everybody, we wouldn't have sexual transmitted disease if everybody would keep themselves to themselves until they were married.
Right.
But the reality is, because we're not disciplined enough to live that reality, now we have people that are passing on sexually transmitted diseases because they want to live in their lust and their pleasure rather than living in the reality of the legacy of love.
That's a deep. Okay. What do you think the difference between a female is from a male when it comes to, obviously, sexual encounters or just dating in general? Anybody can talk on this one. Oh, what's up? What's up, Coco?
Hey.
Hey, girl. Welcome to the party.
Girl.
happy. We have two males on here. I was the only female for a little while. Now I have another female. Thank God. between a female and a male is when it comes to sex.
What was the question?
What is the difference between a female and a male when it comes to sex?
I feel like maybe for a female, it's more of times has changed. So a lot of the females are kind of having this like men mentality about sex. But back in the day, I feel like women are very like spiritual, or they want to be like connected and want something like really, really moving when it comes to sex. But nowadays, I feel like women are just like, well, hell, like, you know, sex is sex. And that's how I feel like with guys, like, guys are very detached when it comes to sex, unless, like, I don't know, like, they're in love, or unless, like, that's, like, I don't know, like, unless, like, their wife, or, you know, something that, like, they have to have a meaning behind it. But, like, I feel like nowadays, they're, like, the men and women are changing, like, they're just, like, flipping it. Like, men are starting to want that attachment, and women are not trying to have that attachment with sex.
Right. I totally agree with that. What about you, Darnell?
Could you repeat the question real quick?
Yeah. So the question is, what is the difference between a male and a female when it comes to sex?
I don't think that gender-wise, there's really a difference.
Okay.
I think that it's just a mentality that people have, and some people have a certain mentality and other people have the same mentality or different ones. I don't think that there's like clear cut ones for between men and women. But what was I going to say? Damn, I forgot what I was going to say. But yeah, I don't think that I don't think that one side leans one way and the other side leans the other way. I mean, I feel like you could take like maybe on average, like a general consensus. But yeah, I've met girls that think about it the same way that guys do, and vice versa. And I feel like it's pretty much it's all over the place.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about you, Chris?
Well, women are fillers. So, I mean, they're looking for a filling. I mean, in everything that they do, they're unique, they're powerful. So in everything, when it comes to their words, their dress, they're always looking for a filling. So then you have guys. Guys are more looking to complete something. You know, they're always looking for their security. That's why when it comes to their job, that's a very, their skill, their whatever they're doing, they're always talking about it because that is a connection to their identity. So when you have a filler and an identity coming together, that's when you see the completion of, again, a family. So that's what sex is all about, you know, and that is the essence of what happens when people sacrifice themselves and say, you know what, I love you. And that's the biggest difference between sex back in the day, as Coco, I think that's her name, was saying, and sex now, you know, because back in the day, everything was not built off of a moment of pleasure. Everything was built off of a legacy. Everybody killed in blood, sweat, and tears to say, hey, I want to have a family. Nowadays, people say, I've never experienced a family, so I don't want one. If this is what a family looks like, I definitely don't want one. And if my dad wasn't there for me, especially from a woman standpoint that lives in feelings. So my dad was absent. I don't want to trust this knuckleheaded guy. He's going to do the same thing my dad did. So now you have that feeling. And then, or you have the other side where you have a household with a guy where his dad was absent, or we oftentimes don't want to talk about this side. The woman was absent. The mom was never there. So he's like, well, I don't want to trust this girl because she's going to leave just like my mom left. Or he's going to leave like my dad left. So now you have a family that's built off of a lack of identity and a lack of feelings. So now everybody's to themselves. And when everybody is to themselves, it's easy to lust and not love. But see, when you are for everybody else, you're living from a place of constantly loving, not lusting. And that's the problem with the world. We used to live for others. Now we live for only ourselves. And that's why we have the iPhone. We have the iPad, the MySpace, the Facebook. It's all about you, 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 you. When we used to live in unity with we. And that's the problem. If we would truly get back to the reality of what this world was built off of, loving God and loving people, we will see a return of love and an elimination of lust.
Wow. How is that? Wow, you got anything to say on that, Coco?
I'm just ready for the next question. But... <That's true. laughs> No, but it was I know it's very interesting, like how, you know, but I honestly, I think that's kind of what I was trying to say too, in a way, just like women, like with the whole spiritual thing, because they want like that feeling and they want that, like, I don't know, like that attachment or that something. And it's really interesting how he was just saying, like, in they, their goal, you know, is to be, to like be that completion for someone, in that, you know, the backbone for somebody. And I feel so bad for the men, especially like our Black men, because we're not talking about that. We're going to the next question.
Talk about that. Open that. Cause I have a comment to follow up with you on that. Cause I know where you're going, yeah, but it needs to be said. Girl. It needs to be heard. Yeah, so say that.
No, but I'm just saying, it's just like Black men, they just have a big stigma about that. And it's just like, it's sad, and I don't know what we should do to just try to switch their mindset, and I'm not sure. But
well, let me speak on that. The reality is, Black men are the way that they are because they're dealing with two things. They're dealing with society already labeling them as a failure, but then they go home and their wife is telling them that they're a failure too. You ain't nothing. You suck. So how do you fix a Black man's mentality? Stop tearing him down and start affirming him. When was the last time you heard a Black woman affirm a man and not say he's a low life, he's not anything, and he's going to end up in jail, or he's going to end up just like his dad? When you talk to anyone like that, what you're doing is you're imposing that identity onto them, rather than them living onto the fullness of the identity which God established for them. So if you would begin to talk to him right, he would begin to live right. But the reality is, that's not what's happening, because you have society already labeling them as a low life. Then they go home and they experience the same thing. If we would really treat the home as what it's supposed to be, the whole purpose of a home is to nurture. The nonsense that's outside of the home is not supposed to be going on inside the home. The most peacefulest place was always supposed to be inside the house, which is the home. The heaven on earth reality starts in the home. But that's the thing that we don't understand. Yeah. The house, outside the house, okay, that's the earth. That is the world. That is the craziness. But as soon as I get home, all that craziness does not come in. And we experience the fullness of love. And until we can get women to understand this and actually teach what needs to be taught in the home, we're not going to see Black men change their mindset. But matter of fact, not just Black men, all men. Because yes, we highlight Black men because we are Black.
Yes.
Everybody on this phone is Black. But at the same time, we have to be honest, because that's another thing that I just want to touch on real quick. Because me being mixed, Black and white, we can't just label this to one culture, because then we're not eliminating the issue. We're just addressing our wound. We have to address the full issue. So we have to realize that this is not just a Black thing. This is a worldwide man thing. We need women to teach what needs to be taught in the home, and we need men to live the reality of what's taught in the home outside the home, because then that's what brings change fully.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, welcome, Jeff. What's up, man? You just got on, you know.
I'm not even gonna lie. The time difference, I know you said 10 central.
Yeah.
I wasn't even trying to do the math and stuff. I lost track of time. I'm like, oh shoot, they doing it right now. My bad.
No, you're good. You're good. I just, all I gotta do is like, all, that's why I sent you guys the invitation. I was like, oh, whenever they wake up, just press.
For sure.
So since you're on, Jeff, we were touching on Black men, and you obviously come from, you've been on, you were a part of Black Expression. You did certain things. So do you want to touch on that, being a Black male in society, and kind of what my brother was speaking on? Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, I kind of picked up the back half of it. Okay. And I will say, like, so I guess a little bit about my experiences. Like you said, I was part of this group or this organization called Black Expression. It's still going on now. They just do open mic events every Friday night for, you know, the community. But of course, it caters to the preference of Black people in the community. And then on top of that, I was a BSU president for 2 years at my JUCO, when I was there. I've done a few things, I guess like a few hosting events and stuff, but as far as being Black in the community and just connecting it to what just everyday experiences and how to maneuver through it, or?
Well, we're talking, so when my brother was speaking on, well, we're obviously talking about sex today. So my brother was talking about like how women need to obviously, you know, be from the home as well. And then Coco was talking about, you know, Black men and how we need to really work on them. So you being a Black male in society, what is it like being in society, being a Black male, and how have you watched, you know, different males be in society, Black males be in society with women,
right?
And how do they get stereotyped and things like that, kind of on that,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I will say I'm thankful enough to grow up in an environment where, as far as like, I guess sex and like love goes, or not, I guess not necessarily focusing more on the love aspect of it, but you know, I've been thankful enough to grow up in an environment where like I wasn't necessarily, and I wasn't put in a position where I had to, I guess, quote unquote, act for like, you know, in a Christian household. So my parents were like, no sex till marriage type deal, like really making sure that I was understanding of, one, the nature of religion and sex, but also understanding that I am a Black man living in, you know, the society that we live in and living in America. So I was, I guess you could say I was kind of a late bloomer. I'm 25 now, but I, and though, you know what I'm saying, like I set this whole sex before marriage thing, it, you know what I'm saying, kind of ball came and went. But as far as like, I guess how sex is viewed and I guess how to use it, it's not something that I've been like, oh, bet, you know what I'm saying, I'm about to be out here wilding out, or it's not something that was, I guess you could say, introduced me early on. So I do still hold that value of like, you know, I can't just jump into it with anybody. Huh. I really have to kind of, you know, be choosy. You know what I'm saying?
Mariah, ask him that question that you asked us. Let him see if he can let him get his answer with that one question that in the
The one about what's the difference between a woman and a man when it comes to sex? Okay.
Yeah.
So okay. Well, just add on to that for what you're saying, Jeff. So one of the questions that I asked is what's the difference between a male and a female when it comes to sex?
Like when it comes to, okay, wait. So when you say when it comes to sex, are you talking about like the act of, or
in general, like in a general perspective,
like how they view it, like,
okay. Yeah.
See, that's, and low key, that's kind of a tough question to answer, just because, like, I, you know, I, speaking from my perspective,
right.
And that's okay.
I think it's just a matter of like, women naturally tend to be more intimate, and men are kind of just like, men have been known in the past to just be like, all right, like let's go ahead and get this done. Let me get my nut and then we good. Mm-hmm. But I will say, like, as far as like having conversations with a lot of different people, especially in our generation,
yeah.
I think that dynamic is kind of changing, because I'm having conversation with people and a lot of men are actually kind of like making sure that the women are taken care of first, and then it's like, all right, now anything after that is extra for myself, or anything after that I can take care of myself. Mm-hmm. So I think normally growing up, there was like I said, the dynamic of like, all right, women are more intimate, mm-hmm. men are just trying to get it done, or they're trying to prove something, or they're trying to be super macho about it. But now I think the dynamic is switching over to more of like, it's a teamwork thing. Mm-hmm. Like, that we're both, you know, saying we're both trying to help each other out, get to whatever, you know, get to that end goal is whatever you communicate with your partner, that end goal will be. So I think to answer that question, I don't think there's much of a difference now, aside from the fact of like of the anatomy. But I think for the most part, people in our generation kind of have like the same goal or purpose, or, you know what I'm saying? Like are working towards the same thing. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That was a good answer. So yeah. going to Darnell, who is a producer, how do you think music has sexualized different from generation to generation?
You know, to be honest, like you really look at music, I do feel like if you go, you know, back before they were putting lyrics on shit, it was just like the energy of it, you know. But I pretty much feel like ever since they started putting lyrics on it, we're all talking about the same shit,
right?
You know, everybody has talked about love and sex. Okay. I do think that through the years, songs are less, in certain genres, songs are less, they hide less what they're speaking on. I feel like back in the day, a lot of things were more censored.
Okay.
And so writers and artists would find ways to say things without actually saying them.
Okay.
And now you have artists just straight out saying what it is a lot of the time.
No filter.
Right.
No.
Right.
But it's all the same, but we're all talking about, they're all talking about love, they're all talking about sex, they're all talking about, you know, the same topics, deceit, lies, you know, happiness, family, whatever.
Right, right. It got a little,
yeah.
You got a little ratchet side to that, yeah. Okay, okay. Chris, what have you seen the difference in music from obviously growing up, bro? We used to listen to like all the 90s music, the R&B, the everything,
bro.
Like that. How have they sexualized music now way more than it was when we obviously were, you know, getting raised?
I like
that. I think Darnell gave a great answer, honestly. Because I think that he hit it right on the nail. It's the reality of, the only thing I would add on to it is the reality of the difference between lust and love. See, lust does not allow you to create. It allows you to manipulate and just continue on what has been done. But see, true authentic love allows you to create something that has never been established before. So because of that, in the essence of, you know, the hiding of it, there was a kind of respect and reverence of the experience. Okay, you know, as an adult, what they're talking about. Nowadays, kids have not been able to be kids because, like you said, Darnell said, everything's just out in the open. There was a reality of the maturity of you allowed you to understand and follow what they were establishing. But nowadays, because we live in a lustful world, there is no covering, there is no protection, there is no leading into for a child. A child at 5 years old knows what sex is. Why is that? That is not okay. That is not okay. I understand that they're going to experience one day, that they're cold to that reality, but not at 5 years old. They should not be understanding that reality. So the lack of covering is what establishes the lack of creativity. True creativity is established from a safe place, and it goes back to what we were talking about, you know, the question before about the establishment of the home. Because a lot of this, and Drake says this, he's one of my favorite artists from a musical standpoint, but even from a writer standpoint, me being as a writer, he says this in one of his songs, you know, the women are the temperature gauge of the stuff that they're doing when it comes to music. Why is that? Because the true authentic teacher was always a woman in the home. So when the woman, there are more women in the world than there are men. So the reality of what the lust has taken over the world as is established because of the women not keeping themselves covered. And I'm not blaming women. I love women. Women are unique. But I'm just saying, until we can get teachers back in the home, we will never have the creativity at the 11th.
No, but we having a hot girl summer, so I don't know.
And that's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm saying. And that is great and all. And guys in their lust agree with that. But at the same time, in the reality, what it's doing for culture is not helping it. It's hurting it. And think about it. Think about the numbers of rapes. Yeah. Think about the numbers of sex trafficking. All these things are established because, oh, we want to hire a hot girl summer. No, we need a hot girl cover. That's what we really need, so that guys can actually get back to being workers, not bums. Because women are the first ones to talk about, man, he's a low life. He ain't got no job. All he wants to do is sit home and do nothing. Why? He wants to sit at home so when you get home, he can screw you. Oh, hot girl summer, right? We want a hot girl summer. No, we need a hot girl cover so guys can get off their butts and go back and get a job and actually create what we need in the world to be created. This coronavirus would not be doing what it's doing if guys were actually doing what they were called to do. But it's established from what women are doing. We were always established in a team, not an individual. But let me stop.
I would like to respectfully disagree with the brother.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of what he said, I'm not going to invalidate what he said, you feel me? Like, right. I feel like a lot of what he said, especially that being his opinion and his experience, holds a lot of weight to it. But the one thing that that doesn't sit right with me is, like, I don't feel like we can blame women for dressing how they want to dress, because at the end of the day, just as much as it was their choice to put on what they put on, it's also men's choice to not act or to not respond in a certain way. So, I mean, just to kind of give some background, like, both of my parents worked with sexually assaulted victims in the military, and they helped them out on, you know, through different cases and everything. So, as a young boy, like as a teenager, because they started working in that field as, like, when I was a teenager, I've really come to learn that victim blaming is a really big thing in our society.
Right.
We always like to look at, well, she was wearing, well, she did, well, she said, but we never take the time to stop and be like, okay, but ain't nobody holding the man's hands behind his back and being like, well, if you don't have sex with this girl, then you're in trouble. I know society.
But that's where I want to jump in real quick, because if you go back and listen to this later on, you will realize I never blamed the woman. I said again, and this is exactly what I said. I said, it's a team aspect that causes this reality. It's the lack of both sides. I just want to make that clear on here. That I did not point out one side.
I'm not saying that you were victim blaming. I'm just saying that. I'm saying as society,
Oh, okay. I just wanted to clarify that, because other people are going to listen to this, and I just don't want it to be confused as if I was pointing out. No, it's both sides.
So just making that clear. All I'm saying is, just as society, we can't victim blame, and as society, we also, because, you know, he was saying, instead of having a hot girl summer, we have a hot girl cover. But it's like, if we allow the women to do what they hot girl summer thing, because at the end of the day, it's their choice and their body. Like I said, men in society who will, well, she was wearing something provocative, or, well, you know, she was dancing on me, or, you know what I'm saying, she didn't say no. My parents have always told me, like, yes means yes, no means no. A yes can turn into a no, and maybe means no. And then on top of that, as far as, like I said, as far as accountability goes, we have to, before we can be accountable for anybody else, we have to be accountable for ourselves. So if I can't go out to a club, to a party, a kickback with some friends, whatever the case may be, and I can't control my urge to want to have sex with somebody even when they don't want to, or I can't control my urge to not, you know what I'm saying, dance on somebody because I know if I dance on them, I'm going to get a hard-on, or if I know I can't, you know what I'm saying, whatever urge that I know I can't control, or maybe I haven't even noticed it. Maybe my friends, maybe my family, maybe somebody's called me out on it. I need to be accountable enough to be like, you know what? Either let me do something to change my actions because I don't want to be this whatever person, or you know what? Let me do something to change something within myself, because you know what I'm saying? Like, blaming it on other people only can take you for so long. Again, I'm not saying that's what you were saying, but I just know as society, that's what we do.
Right.
So it's just like, I just feel like we as men have to take accountability for ourselves, but also like understand people in general, women, men, other, whoever, however you identify, like people are going to do what they want to do. And we cannot be, and like I said, we can't blame them for something that they did and making us react in the same. Now, if somebody punches you, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, you're going to punch back. If somebody does, but as far as like somebody wearing something or somebody, you know what I'm saying, they look good to you, whatever the case may be, we can't continue to be like, oh, well, it's their fault because they A, B, C, and D. Like,
right.
That's not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the only thing that I would just throw in there is with only love brings accountability. Lust will never bring accountability. So in a world that's built off of lust, there is going to be no accountability. Like you said, everybody's going to do what they want to do. And only thing that allows people to stop and respect boundaries is when love is truly established. I don't do this because I love you. But if I just want to get my nut, I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to get my nut. If I'm going to get high, if I want to get high, I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to get high. Those are all manifestations of lust, not love.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like of you kind of thinking about yourself, but also going off of what you said.
Exactly.
Jeff, about like, they're going to do what they want, and society kind of like, everything you said was really good. Again, with what you were also saying, that again, my brother also said, like, a lot of that stuff starts at home. I feel a lot of like understanding that your boundaries are started at home. Like your parents give you these type of qualifications. They kind of put their own rules and laws on you.
Exactly.
So I feel like when they do that, then you'll know that, okay, well, let me be in this boundary, or, oh, I know better than to touch her, or, oh, I know. But what if you don't have that parent to tell you that? So then you kind of do what you want regardless. So, I mean, that's just my perspective on it. Being a woman that has been obviously sexually whatever, with that being said, I mean, no should mean no. And I feel like, and it also, I think a couple days ago it was sexual assault month or day or one of those. I saw it on Instagram. And it said, one of the quotes said, no means no. It doesn't mean, oh, because I'm like lenient about it, I'm no. That doesn't mean approach it. But just because I didn't say it stern enough for you, that doesn't mean keep doing what you're doing. So being a woman in society, I feel we have more of a bigger role at trying to make men understand, hey, when I say no, that means no. It doesn't mean keep going. It doesn't mean keep asking. It doesn't mean, you know what I'm saying? And Coco can probably agree to this, because she's a woman as well, and she's probably been in a situation. I feel like women go, I mean, I'm not saying men don't go through it either, because y'all do too. And I've met men that have been sexually assaulted, and as well as disrespected, as well as women. But women, I feel, being a woman, as well as Coco is a woman as well, we've been in situations where we said no, but for some odd reason, no didn't get across. So then it's like, now I have to be disrespectful. Now I have to be stern with you. And now I have to like, technically disrespect you as a male, because you didn't understand me when I said it three times. So again, that's a whole different topic.
Yeah,
on a whole other day.
No, I totally agree with you too. And just understanding, I want to just put, because you were really, I like when you said, like in their home and what they've been brought up, and like everybody has a story and everybody has their own background. And some people they don't really feel comfortable talking about their background, or some people just they have trauma with like their history, or, you know, anything like in their life or something like that. And we don't understand like where they're coming from. And we automatically just put like, you know, I don't know, like this title on them or make them feel this type of way. And we don't know where they're like, what they've been through or what they've seen and things like that. But then again, like with the I guess, like, being a woman and having that, you know, like, it just is, it's just really, I don't know, like, this day of age is just really crazy. I don't know where I was going with that, but it's okay. So, but yeah, I just wanted to just talk about, like, the back, like, his, the home situation and his understanding of the person's background and what they've been through and why they do the things they do or why they carry on the way they do. So,
right. And I totally, I mean, I know males, like I said, a lot of times I feel, when you talk about sexual assault, you go straight to the woman. The woman was insulted. It's only women, but I've known some men that have been taken advantage of and have literally been like, bro, like, you don't get it. It's not just you guys. Like, we get it as much as you do. Uh-huh. It's just more, they shine more light on the women than they do the man.
And it's so, yeah, and the times is changing because women are changing. We're getting more, like, I don't know, like, I don't want to say smarter, but we're just getting in that mentality, just like, oh, well, let's just use him for this, or like, oh, let me just, like, see how many drinks he can buy me or whatever, and, right, you know, things like that, and they'll just try to just mess with their minds, and I'm just like, that's gonna hurt you at the end of the day, boo. Like, I don't know, right, like, what I'm really getting at, but, like,
well, women have learned the art that men thrive on lust. So what do? They jump on it. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to give all my assets over to him to feed on his lust, because if I give him into his lust, true, then he's going to give me what I want. That's the reality of it. So then in the long run, the guy finally feels out, oh, she doesn't really love me, quote unquote. She's using me to get her benefit, which is lust. So now, then the guy gets mad, and what he either does, if he's been raised in a common home to know how to respect women, he walks away and says, okay, we just can't do this relationship anymore. But if he doesn't, what he does is he takes advantage of her. Okay, so I spent this much amount of money on you, so now you owe me sex, you owe me this, you owe me that, you owe me this, and until I get that, I'm not gonna, you know, stop. So then you turn that into that guy getting himself in bigger trouble because all he did was buy her a drink. But now he's like, no, I got to get even. She's not going to play me.
Often than usual, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, Jeff, since you came in kind of later, we did also touch on, is there any times that you've had sex that with a person and you felt like you might have done that?
And you said you felt like I might have what?
Did you have you ever had sex and you felt like you shouldn't have had sex with that person?
Yeah. I should not have. There's definitely been a time. And you know, it's I don't think it's necessarily even like a regret thing, you feel me? Because one thing I don't live off of, of regrets. I made the decisions that I made and the choices that I made because I wanted to at the time and whatever the case may be. But I mean, I think it kind of was a pivotal moment for me because when I did that, this was kind of like a few years ago, but when I did that, it was just like, at the time, I did kind of like, you know, what Chris has been talking about, love and lust. At the time, it was just the lust thing. There was no love involved. I knew there wasn't love involved, but you know what I'm saying? Shorty was like, what's the deal? And I'm like, hey, like, what's good? So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it after everything had happened, it was just one of those moments where I was like, man, I shouldn't have did this. Like, I did not have no type of feelings for this girl. I did not, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we knew each other, but there wasn't a lot of emotions behind it. It was all just flesh and, you know, and lust. So I at that point, I had to realize, like, all right, bro, I have to, you know, I am young 20s, I understand that I am a, number one, I am a human being. Number one, number two, I have a bunch of hormones running through my body, but I also understand that I'm an adult So I just had to maneuver differently, and now I'm in a position where it's like I said, I don't involve myself with somebody or anybody sexually unless I at least have feelings for you. And feel like those feelings can go somewhere. But yeah, I've definitely had sex with somebody who was like, man,
I feel we've all have had moments where not regret, but where you can look back and be like, man, I should have maybe made a different decision or thought it out yeah. more than just moving by feeling or by the hormones that are popping, the different things like that. So we are actually going to be wrapping it up, but I'm going to hit you guys with one more question. So I'm going to start out with Coco. Was there any time in a relationship or somebody that you dated that you felt that you might have been a little bit selfish in the relationship or when it came sexually or anything like that?
I believe so. Like, I guess, like, I was selfish in a sense that, like, I didn't want to be, like, alone, I guess, and I didn't want, because obviously my partner at the time, like, they didn't want anything, like, that was concrete, like, he didn't want any, like, titles and stuff.
Right.
And I was like, okay, like, that's fine, but, like, I don't want to be by myself, and so, like, I'm just going to continue using you, or I'm just going to continue to have you still be in my life or just be there, because, like, I don't want to be, like, just by myself or running around with other people, because that's not what I wanted to do. But I believe I definitely have with someone just for the, like, just to physically have them know that I have someone that can satisfy my needs whenever I need one. Mm-hmm.
I think we've all been there too. What about you, Chris? Has there ever been a moment, like, in a relationship or anything like that, you felt you were maybe selfish sexually, but also just in the relationship in general?
Definitely. And that everything that I've stated in this is from my experience, from what I've learned from kind of stepping back and just viewing my relationship with women, and what God as a Christian expects us to live by. So everything that I'm saying is from my experience and my encounter. And that is part of the reason why I have chosen to be single in this season, because there were areas that I'm thankful that God has not allowed me to take that into a marriage, because then I would be adding to the problem, not adding to the solution. So because of that, I've stepped back, evaluated myself, and that's why I'm speaking in the way that I'm speaking. And I know that even the guys in, you know, Coco probably think that, you know, man, this dude is extreme. But I'm only extreme because it's where I'm striving to be. Not striving to be. That's where I'm working toward. That's a better way of saying it, because I don't want to strive. Because if you strive, you lead into lust. But I want to work into it, taking the slow progressions to this reality, because then it brings solution to everybody else. I don't want the hurts of the past generations to flow into the next generation. So I've stepped back, evaluated myself, and say, okay, God, remove every ounce of lust in me and build in me the full essence of who you have called me to be, because you are love. You've made me in your image. So that's what I want to reflect every time somebody comes encounter with my words, my actions, my thoughts, my reality when they see me. I don't want them to see me, Chris Shields. I want them to see God in me and his radiancy of his love and his glory be the thing that changes their life. Man, I want to be like that guy, because there's something different about him than the world. So that's why I've stepped back, evaluated myself, and have begun to work slowly and allow the Holy Spirit to fully take over my life so that this can be the reality that everybody else experiences.
What about you, Darnell?
I definitely feel like in majority of situations in my life, I'm going to be selfish. I feel like I probably should be even more selfish. I feel like judgment is a tough thing. And I think that a lot of times when we, or I'll just speak for myself, when I weigh situations, I could never really take into account everything that's going on and everything that's involved. I am like a believer in intuition. I feel like if I'm around somebody and I feel a certain energy from them, like I feel like I have a responsibility to respond. And my initial response in what I feel like I should do usually is with love. I feel like that's just natural. And so I think a lot of the times not acting in that immediate energy or situation and kind of delaying it, that's where we add our human processes and ego, and I feel like that's when things get tainted. So I feel like in relationships, they work best when both parties are completely selfish. I think that sacrifice is good. I think it can be beneficial. But I would not want a relationship that's based on that. I would prefer that what I want and what whoever the situation I'm in with wants the same thing. And as long as we are meeting at a point, because what we both want meet somewhere, I don't try to judge it. And I'm cool. I feel like that's best.
What about you, Jess?
I mean, I've definitely been selfish in past relationships. I will say, speaking on the selfishness, it wasn't necessarily sexual. I can't say that I have not been selfish during sex, or especially in relationships that I've been in. I can't recall being selfish, but I'm, you know what I'm saying, I can't also 100% say like, nah, I've never been selfish sexually in my relationships. But I think one thing that Darnell said that I liked a lot was, I think both parties do have to be selfish. One thing that I do like, or one thing that I do, I guess you can say, for lack of a better term, pride myself on, even though it's not necessarily pride, but like one thing that I do, I am very happy about in my relationships is that when it's time to be, when it's not time to be selfish, like I can really not be selfish and give a lot. I do believe that, and Darnell said that relationship works for him when both people are equally selfish, but they both understand, and meet together at a point and all that stuff. I know for me, I think that sacrifices, he said they could be beneficial. I do think that sacrifices are really beneficial because it kind of brings in humility into the relationship as well. And letting us both know that, like, we can be selfish, but at the end of the day, like, in certain situations, something's got to give. And somebody is going to be a lot more happy than the other person, or somebody's going to benefit more, not necessarily happiness. Both parties could be happy equally, but whatever the case may be, I've learned that sacrifices are something that I definitely would like to incorporate more in my you know what I'm saying? Hopefully next and last relationship. But, you know, selfishness is also an important thing because at the end of the day, nobody gonna rock for you like you. And nobody gonna look out for you like you. Nobody gonna love you like you, whatever the case may be. So, selfishness is definitely important. But, like I said, for myself, I also think that sacrifices and compromise are equally as important in whatever, you know, whenever those situations
arise. I totally agree with all of you guys on relationships, selfishness, and stuff like that. I believe, well, just my own opinion on this, I feel if I'm not 100% good with myself, meaning I don't love myself enough, I'm not rocking with myself enough, I'm not doing this enough, then I'm not getting in a relationship until I can make sure I can rock with myself on heavy. So that when I get in the relationship, I'm already ready to go. Like, teamwork, I've always been a person when I've been in relationships or in a role, whatever, I've always been a person that has believed in teamwork makes teamwork. So if we ain't a team and if we're not moving in the same sequence as each other, then we don't need to be with each other. It just sounds like you ain't the dude. So, and I mean, I believe my own things, being, like I said, being a woman, we are very emotional and everything like that, but a lot of us are definitely moving differently now because we've seen certain things and we've watched certain things. So more women are independent, and as well, more Black women are independent. We are probably the most disrespected, in certain ways, most independent women, I feel, in society that I've seen. There is more Black women not married than there is married. And I think that has changed. The numbers have definitely changed more now, but we still you have a lot of Black women, like, not really, and it goes back to what we've already talked about, with the home and everything like that. But I've seen more Black women be independent and just be single than being married, because they're just, you know, some Black women are fed up, but in general, the whole women in general are fed up with certain things that men have either done to them or different things like that that they've been through, because everybody has a story, like Coke said. So that all puts and mushes together. But we are closing up. So, Jeff, do you have anything you want to shout out? Because, you know, you have a podcast and all. I heard it's dropping. Like, what day? Like, give me the
info. Yeah, you already know. You know what I'm saying? Melanin Theory podcast. Go ahead and check it out. You can follow me on Instagram at Melanin_Theory. That's MELANIN_THE. My bad. I was getting mixed up with the spelling for theory. THEORY. I be wanting to put the O first for some reason sometimes. And it be throwing me off. But yeah, Melanin_Theory. Follow me on Instagram. Season 2 coming out soon. Also, I do music as well, so you can follow me on my personal gram. Uh-huh. Swing like Devonte. Swing with an A instead of an I, and then like Devonte _. So you know what I'm saying? Ratchetly intelligent. You feel me?
Darnell is a producer, so if you want to hit him up, you might want to. He's a really good producer. Darnell, do you have anything you want to shout out? Oh,
for sure.
Okay.
Nothing in particular. Humble man. Just follow the brand. Darnell everything. On everything.
I like his diction. He said nothing in particular. But,
he's like that. He's very like mellow.
You feel me?
Mellow. Chris, you have anything coming out? Anything you want to shout out? Because, you know, you got a podcast too.
Yeah, I got Coffee with Pops. That's a podcast. And then I have another podcast that I'm working on called The Open Book with Chris Shields. That'll be coming in September. And then if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow me at That Groovy Dude. Or you can follow my personal page at Chris Shields _.
Are you doing an album?
And yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's behind the scenes, so I ain't gonna talk about that. There's some other since my sister wants to give things away that I'm keeping in the closet. I'm not keeping my sexuality in the closet. But hey, I'm keeping things in the closet. You know, but no, I got some side projects that I'm working on, and as soon as this coronavirus, I have some travels that I'll be doing. But yeah, that's just some stuff. To follow me on social media, and you'll be able to see what's going on. So.
Nah, I'm really going to be tuning in a lot of these podcasts. It sounds really interesting. It really got me thinking. I really like to just, you know, talk to other people and just, you know, pick people's thoughts, and I think it's very healthy, and I think everybody should at least participate in one or just get an invitation to one, because hey, you might know, you might get into it and really like it. So but yeah.
Hey, genuinely, I want more supportive friends.
You've been my girl since college, so what's good?
Yeah. Real talk.
But yeah, I thank you guys for coming through. Thank you, Jeff, for coming through.
I'm late with it, but you know what I'm saying? I'm always on time.
Thank you, Darnell, for coming through. Thank you, Chris, for coming through.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thank you, Coco.
My pleasure.
All right, so this is Speak Up, Speak Out, and we out.
Bye.